Welcome to Talking About Billy with Steve Hallis. He's my guest today. Steve has been a friend of mine for, I think we were acquaintances before, and now we've been friends for almost 4 years now.
Yeah, probably, right?
Yeah, I think,
we were acquaintances all since Dallas. We knew each other in Dallas, but then,
yeah,
where was it? We were backstage at, I think it was, oh, it was that thing with Gene Pompa.
When you Oh, yeah.
That was the first time I ever really, like significantly talked to you, and you were a different, you were a changed man at that point.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember.
Like, I was a changed man?
Yeah. Like you, the Nick I knew in Dallas, like happy-go-lucky Nick, was not happy-go-lucky that night in that green room. You looked worn down. Like, you looked like road-worn. You know what I mean? Like,
I wouldn't.
Like, you'd been through some shit. Like, you know, like, you came back from Vietnam, and you're like, man, you won't believe the shit I saw. I can't even talk about it. Me and this other comic,
me
Billy.
And Billy.
We killed women and children, man.
Almost, man. Yeah. It's like, you won't even believe what he made me do. That's funny, because there's a picture of me backstage on that night where I do kind of look, like, jaded.
You were a boy, and that, like, that night I was like, oh, Nick's a man now. Like, that was really the feeling. I remember Christelle and I talked about it, really. We talked about, like, Nick was like, well, you could tell he went through some shit. is this gonna go on the air? Because that Billy,
dude, you know what the crazy thing about it, because I thought about that and people are concerned, and I really, like, when you look at the psychology of a person, they won't even notice it. There's some people that are that personality. They have no idea they did what they did.
Right, right. So they don't.
It doesn't even click in. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost as if it never happened.
Yeah.
You know?
So if he's listening right now, he doesn't realize we're talking about him.
He has no idea.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I'm becoming forgetful now. That's how much I'm like that right there.
You're forgetting what?
I'm forgetting just sentences and stuff. Like, I'm just like in, my mind gets muddled. And we were talking about that with as busy as everything gets, when it starts getting really busy, you kind of just, you know, things fall to the wayside, and you're like, oh shit, I forgot about that.
Yeah,
you know?
No shit, I know. And I think it's something about all the travel, so many people you see and meet, and it's harder for certain things to stick out in your memory.
Yeah.
Like, things have to be really a big deal for you to remember them.
And the funniest thing is, I think the biggest things anybody remembers are those, what we're talking about, the Billy moments.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny how you can forget somebody who was nice and kind to you, but the minute somebody's bad to you,
yeah,
that's it. They're ingrained in your head.
The negative stuff is what sticks always, I think, more so than
yeah.
Than, or if some, maybe if somebody's really, really nice, like surprisingly
if
nice.
If somebody's really great, yeah.
That stands
that
out.
That too. If they are surprisingly nice and you didn't expect it.
It's weird. It's weird in stand-up because you end up meeting so many people.
Yeah.
That you've looked up to or, you know, worshipped or whatever over the years, you know?
I know a lot of people have, like, I was so disappointed stories. I haven't been disappointed by anybody I've met.
Yeah.
Not yet.
You got to pick.
Oh,
and
no,
choose.
You know what? No, I got one.
Here's a Billy that we know.
Okay.
This is a totally different story. A Billy we know was in New York. You know what? Our friend is a female. So what's the female version?
There was Bonnie. I was thinking of Bonnie.
Okay, so Bonnie. This is Bonnie. So Bonnie's our friend. So Bonnie goes to New York. She's in New York, and she has some friends, and they meet up, and they're like, "Hey, let's go to the Comedy Cellar." And it just so happened that night, the headliner was a comedian named Billy. That if everybody knows.
So the headliner's name was actually Billy something.
No, he's a Billy too. I don't want to say
his name. Okay, all right.
Because I don't want our friend. That
you
we,
don't want
I don't
to
want
get
the friend
connected.
That we know to be upset.
You don't want Billy to get upset.
And I don't want to talk shit about this Billy because he's one of the biggest Billies in the business.
Okay, all right, all right.
So we'll just say that. So they go to the show.
Yeah.
And Bonnie's never met Billy. Like, she's never, you know, never talked to him or anything. And her friends, I think her friends were somehow affiliated with some of the people at the club. So they're at the Comedy Cellar. So the show is over.
Yeah.
But our friend Bonnie and her friends, they stay in the room, like, for whatever reason. I guess it was cool for them to hang out, and they just were catching up. So they're sitting at a table just talking.
Yeah.
I guess they turned the club over for the next show. But so Billy, the huge comedian that we all know.
Yeah.
Billy walks up. And Bonnie's never met him, and kind of excited. And he walks up, And like, just like with a shitty look on his face, he just goes, "It's the same show. You can leave. There's no reason to stay. I'm going to do the same show, and then I'm doing the same material in the next show. You can just go ahead and leave."
Yeah.
And he walks out, and they were like he just assumed that they were that
there
they
for
were,
the second show.
He assumed they were like these buggy-eyed, you know, naive tourists who were just thought that, "Oh, we'll stick around and we'll watch Billy again, and we'll watch a whole new show." And he just, you know, he assumed that, and he was just being a dick. Like, he didn't even need to talk to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I've heard other stories about this Billy. And as great as he is, as much as I respect the guy, I would never go near him. I would never, ever try to talk. I wouldn't. Unless someone introduced us, I would never talk to him.
Yeah.
And yet he's a household name. You know what I mean?
That's the other concern about going up to people. You just don't know. Like, they might not want it.
They always say you should never meet your idols, right?
Yeah.
Or be careful or something. That's like true. That. Some sort of cautionary thing, like.
Yeah.
Meeting your idols could really piss you off.
Yeah.
Have you ever met an idol or been? Did you say you were disappointed by somebody?
I was disappointed.
Were you surprised or just disappointed?
Both.
Yeah.
It's my first weekend at the Improv.
Uh-huh.
Billy just made a whole bunch of movies back in the 80s, 90s.
Hold on.
Okay.
Now, before we started this, I had an original Billy. I had a Billy story that we haven't even done my Billy story.
Okay.
But I think you might be talking about the same Billy that I was going to talk about. It's so weird how we started off and came to right
it
here.
It came right here to the same one.
We're leading into exactly what my Billy story was going to be.
Okay. So my Billy, you know, had not too much of a drop off, but his movies are always playing. So my first weekend working for him, I'm excited. You know, it's my first weekend at the Improv. I'm hosting. And so I did my thing. And apparently you're supposed to stay on stage while he's on stage and get the audience to give him a standing go, like when he's done.
I know who this Billy is.
And he looked at me like, "Hey, pick up the microphone. Get him to give me a standing ovation." Right. So I did. "Hey, give it up for Billy. You guys just saw Billy."
Right. You're supposed to basically make the audience give him a standing ovation.
Yeah. Like, "Come on, guys. Give it up." So whatever. The next day, I get a call from the Improv manager.
Oh.
And he's just like, "Hey, don't worry about coming in this week. We'll pay you for last night."
Oh, they fired you?
And I was like, "So what happened?" He's like, Billy says you make him feel too old.
No, Billy needs therapy.
So that's
Billy
why he fired
old.
Me.
Oh, dude.
Because I made him feel old.
My Billy was not that Billy.
Oh, okay.
But
damn
those
it.
Two guys definitely were popular at the same time. Like, I remember he had problems. He had, he had some substance abuse problems. I can say that. That whether people knew that or not. You know, it's always weird when you're emceeing because a lot of times the show starts and the headliner's not there. And you start freaking out.
Yeah, a little bit.
And this happened every single show. Here's the thing. He's the kind of guy that when you say his name, he doesn't come out.
Yeah.
I would say, "All right, everybody, you've seen him on this thing and that thing. You know who he is. Give it up for Billy."
Yeah.
And I'm standing there. I'm
clapping.
I'm standing there clapping. "Come on, guys." I remember the first night, he just wasn't there. And I'm like, "He just needs more applause."
Yeah. The fairy in Peter Pan. Just applaud more. more.
And you can bring Billy back to life.
Come on.
I mean, I don't know how long it really took him. Probably realistically 2 minutes from the time I said his name till he actually showed up. Felt like five. I'm just standing there.
And they're just wondering, and it makes you feel like a jackass.
Yeah, because they're all looking at you, and then you don't know if something's wrong. You don't know what the hell's going on. I don't know what the deal is, but I hated that. I hated it because every show, I didn't know the duration,
the time,
but it was always long. I knew, you know.
Yeah.
The thing being late, you know, coming up to stage late is weird. But here's the other weird thing. I mean, I get it. I have a lot of friends who've dealt with substance abuse, and you got to find other things to distract yourself or occupy your time.
Yeah.
So one night, I'm back there in the green room, and I think I started the show, and then the feature was on. He walks in with bags and bags from the grocery store.
Yeah.
And Billy goes, "Yeah." He goes, "I'm making chicken tonight." And he goes into the kitchen of the Improv.
Yeah.
He just starts making fried chicken. Like,
That's hilarious.
Like platters. Like not just like a not like like a serving for himself or two or three people. He bought I don't know how much chicken, like sacks and sacks of chicken. He took over the kitchen at the Improv and he made chicken all night. He just was back there. He spent the whole night with the chefs.
Yeah.
Like literally when it was time for him to go up, I had to go into the kitchen and go, "Hey Billy, so-and-so's done. He's going to be done in a minute. I'm going to bring you up." He's like, "All right." He like had the fucking apron on and everything. And I mean, he's like, "All right, man, I'll be up there. I'll see you up there." And the green room full, just platters of chicken. He was bringing chicken out to the audience. Like there was just
fried. During the show, he was bringing.
Like there was fried chicken everywhere. And I get it. It was weird. You could, I realized like, this is what he has to do. Like yeah. Nobody was eating it. He wasn't eating it. He was just like, "I'm making chicken. Like this is what I'm going to do tonight. I'm a millionaire. I'm just going to make chicken.
Yeah.
That'll be my thing. So I don't think about, I guess, cocaine and strippers.
Yeah, I'm going to cook.
I'm going to cook. What, you know, before I go on stage. I mean, you know,
that's funny, man.
I think he's.
And nobody did anybody try the chicken? Come on,
I didn't. Well, I'm a vegetarian, so I didn't even eat the chicken. So, I think you know, I wish I could have bonded over chicken with him, but it's funny people don't think about like when you first start out, you want to MC a show or whatever. You have no idea some of the shit you might have to do, like stuff that really managers need to be doing. You never think you're gonna have to like find the headliner or figure out, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the headliner's notorious for something, the club might warn you,
right?
But most of the time, they don't even want to deal with it.
Yeah,
you know,
and I don't mean to interrupt you. Nobody even realizes it. Like the audience. I remember the first time I emceed a show, very first time ever, I thought, "Oh, man, after the show, I'm going to stand by the door and everybody's going to tell me how funny I am."
Yeah.
Nobody said shit to me. I stood there. I remember I opened for Kathleen Madigan like years ago.
It was the first time ever.
It was like, I don't know what year it was. And I thought, I'll just stand there next to Kathleen and people will shake my hand. Nobody said anything to me.
Well, because they don't consider the host a comic.
Part of the show. Right. They think, right. Because part of the thing is it's like you work for the club, you know.
Yeah.
Visit our website and come back and see us. Like you have to act like you work there. So
yeah.
they probably think you do work there. You know? Mm-hmm. This is like therapy. I don't know if you've ever been to therapy, but like you go to a therapist and it's like you're there for one certain issue, but then you start talking. Like it's so weird how when you start talking about stuff, you start remembering stuff.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, you're in there because you're talking about your relationships with women, and the next thing you know, you're like you're crying about your dog that died when you're a kid, or you're opening up all these memories. You're like, "Oh man, like that's,
yeah."
That's
and then you're like, "That's where it came from."
Yeah.
Usually, that's what I try to do when I'm thinking you know, like, why do I feel like this? I try to go, okay, how far back does this stem from? Where does this problem really come from? But so many people don't. They're not that self-aware.
No, or they don't. You know? Right, they're not self-aware, or they don't take the time to dig into it to figure it out. And I remember.
By the way, most disappointing scene in the movie for me.
Mike Tyson singing.
Yeah, just because I didn't know the song, and then it just kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah,
I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
Hangover 2 is playing in the background here. Just because it's on.
I think it's even better if they didn't.
I blew it. Billy
Part 2 is playing.
Billy Part 2. Starring Billy Finakis
and
I don't remember what the hell I was saying. Yeah.
Okay, and Billy Cooper. All right, it's on. I'll just wrap it up real quick with the episode 3 with Mr. Steve Hallis. Thank you so much again.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I like how we acted like
there was an hour in between where we just bullshitted.
Yeah, there was an hour in between this and the end of the story where we actually talked about other stories. So sorry, guys. You're just going to have to hear it later. And that's talking about Billy. Thank you for listening. And if you guys got your own Billy stories, hit me up on Facebook. Write them to me and I'll tell them on the next podcast if you want to tell me your own Billy story. The premise is, like I said, just any story you want to say, you just got to replace one of the names with Billy.